At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we are fired up today. We're going to have some discussions on the Illini getting massacred by Purdue over at Ross-Ade. Not a good day for Illini fans. We will have Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince on, and then after they go their merry way, Matt will come up from the bowels of Ross-Ade Stadium, where he was interviewing the Illini locker room, and we will talk to him as well. We'll be right back after this.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, Mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together.
Hey, welcome to Eye on the Illini. As I promised, we have Illini Uber Insiders Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince here. This is Mike Kegley. We are going to talk about a loss that, in my eyes, I'm not speaking for Ked and Brad, Illinois has been blown out so many times during my life as a fan. I can't keep track of it, but rarely have I seen a more mediocre team blow the Illini out. So that was new. I don't know if that's a good thing, but certainly it has led to a lot of frustration as I sit back and reflect on the game. Brad, what are your thoughts? Because maybe you're more positive than me right now.
No, I'm completely negative. I'm with you, Mike. That was atrocious. And here's the thing. Had they lost that game, you know, 24-21 on a field goal or something like that, or Purdue scores at the end, they lose, I'd have been like, yeah, it's a disappointing loss. This was a beatdown in the second half. They dominated Illinois at the line of scrimmage. They were faster than Illinois. Their wide receivers are faster and better. Their running backs were faster and better. Their quarterback, I mean, he did. He had more time to throw, so he had more options. They ran the ball, but I mean, up and down the line, their defensive backs made more plays. They were able to complete passes when they had the opportunity. They didn't drop, you know, touchdowns. They didn't drop or miss wide open guys. You go down the list, and they just were beating every facet of the game except field goal kicking. Caleb Griffin hit a nice 53-yarder. Yay! That, you know, but when that's what you have to hang your hat on, is that, you know. I feel like I'm back in the Lou Tepper era of stand up for special teams. Although Lou Tepper wouldn't have given up this many points, their defense. So no, it's atrocious. And you know what? How do you give up? How do you be that bad on defense and offense? Offense bad, but at least offense, you got a young quarterback. You had your starting running back out. You maybe don't have great playmakers, and your offensive line struggling. Defensively, you have a defensive line with guys who think they're going to play or are going to play in the NFL, and you're just gashed play after play. At some point you got to figure it out, and they better figure something out, because it's not good. And this is a team, if they play like they play today, they're going 2-10. They can't play the way they play today and win any games. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to, because you can obviously play better. They can play better than they did today, but if they play like today, they're going 2-10.
Ed, what are your thoughts?
Last year's last year, and I'm one of the people who need to let last year go. This isn't the same team. I do think that this team has talent. I know they're young in the secondary. I have to be honest. I think this is me, in my opinion. I think today's loss was the worst loss since Brett Bielema has been at Illinois. I'm not talking about how many points because, you know, I don't have a computer in front of me right now. Just the way they play. His teams don't roll over like that. You could go to Indiana last year. You can go to the bowl game. You can go to Purdue, Michigan State at home. Any game. I think this was by far the worst I've seen. It looks like in the second half they look fatigued. You know, I think, you know, as I mentioned earlier on our other 10-minute recap podcast, I feel bad for Luke Allmire. I think there was one time I think he hit the ground because he knew he was going to get hit. We all saw the stat. If you have Twitter or X, whatever the hell it's called right now, I don't know. He's been sacked more than any quarterback in the conference. You know, you're not going to win games like that. And if he gets hurt, that spells a recipe for disaster long term. This offensive line has to open up holes. They have to give him time to throw. I said this before. I know that kid can make a routine pass. He's very good at it. I was told coming into the season before we even had preview information, this kid can put the ball anywhere you want it. But when you don't have time to throw it, you can't do it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Brad. I did not see. I thought this team would have an offensive line. I didn't think it was going to be as good as last year, but I thought they were going to have an offensive line that would allow Altmaier to be a quarterback. I never, to be real truthful, I never expect a Brett Bielema team to be anywhere near the top of the total yards and total points category for a Big Ten. But I thought this would be a team that the offense would keep them, you know, competitive, and then the defense would hold down the other team. And we haven't seen that because the offensive line is horrific. And then the penalties again today, 9 penalties, 80 yards, 2 or 3 first downs. I mean, they hand out first downs to keep drives alive like they're candy. Do you see any fixing of this, Brad?
Well, it is close to October, so maybe they think it's Halloween. Exactly. I don't know. Well, no, I don't know. I mean, I'm as I said, I'm a little bit, I'm flabbergasted, Mike. I that's the only word I can think of. Like, I'm kind of stunned at the way this game went. Not they lost again. It's the way they lost. But here's the, I mean, they're just not good. I mean, they are this program. I mean, we gave, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody or say this, they gave Brett Bielema this extension and did all these things because of the season, etc. Illinois is now 1-7 in the last 11 months against high major competition, Power 5 competition. 1-7. Now, if 1-7 against Power 5 competition is good, then Illinois should have kept Ron Zook for sure back in the day. I mean, or maybe they should have kept Ron Turner. I don't know, but it's not good. It's not acceptable. I mean, it's not good enough to win. And now you go into the next, you know, and we said, you know, this is when the season really started, was this week. This is their chance to show something. But, you know, Nebraska's going to be hungry. Maryland looks really good, right? And if they can't score against Purdue, how are they going to score against Iowa? I mean, do you look at a game? Northwestern gave Penn State a run for the first half. I mean, I don't know. Is there a game you say, oh, this is a game we're going to win right now? Do you have that feeling?
Yeah, today was it. Today was it.
I mean, I don't know. And I look at Purdue's schedule. Do you think Purdue's going to win many games?
No.
Like, they're 2-2. I mean, I think they're going to be 4-8 at best. I mean, that's my guess. And yet, Illinois just got trounced by them. So, I don't know. I'm not feeling very positive. I'm to the point now where if you want to sell me to come there, like, and okay, I'm going to be, this is crazy negative, but if I'm not a relative of one of the players or cheerleaders or whatever, I wouldn't go. I'd stay in the tailgate area. Why would you go to a game? You can go in at halftime if it's competitive and just let them sit there. I mean, it's insane to me how bad this is. I mean, from a program standpoint, and because it's also your guy, your defensive coordinator that took the Purdue job, and you know he's supposed to be your protege and you're his mentor, and didn't look like that today.
I think right now they need to somehow, I don't know, legally try to find 6 wins. That will, you know, still keep the recruits interested. You know, you're not going to probably win the West. You know, Brad mentioned, you know, of course you're going to be one of the worst teams to me. I mean, it's tough to say because Purdue just trounced Illinois, but I do think on paper Illinois has better talent. But the key moving forward, to if you get 6 wins, forget what you've done in the past. It'll be 2024. You have to go out in the transfer portal and get kids. Illinois has a lot to offer. There's nobody can tell me it's not a good place. The facilities, there's good coaching staff. They have an amazing fan base. Like we mentioned, the icon, whatever it needs to happen, because if you do not, you know, we know how good USC is. We know how good Oregon is. Washington, that is scary. That is going to be very, very scary going up against those guys if you don't have the talent. So if you're going to play with the big boys, you have to play big boy games, and everybody else is doing it. Because today, to me, you saw a team that was worn down. We know the offensive line. We've talked about that a million times, the depth. You know, you got a kid injured, and then you're wondering who's going to go in, if they can get the job done. You have to have talent. Football, you have to have it, and especially in the trenches. You cannot win games if your line, offense or defense, is not up to par.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with any of that. And people don't really get what is coming into the Big Ten next year. You're thinking they've got basically, you know, three great white sharks and a bull shark dropped into the conference. You know, USC is there to try to go, you know, to the CFP. Washington's the same way. Oregon's the same way. And UCLA's got the most innovative, crazy coach that there is. And they're going to be dropped into the water. And look, they're looking at Illinois as a meal. And you got to give – I mean, Bielma can coach. It's clear he can coach.
Mike, they're just a snack.
Yeah.
They're not even a meal.
Yeah, you're a good point. You're a good point. They're a Weight Watchers snack, or they're exactly. empty calories. but I'm telling you, you know, he's got to have the ability to go get an Avery Jones in the portal. And if you can't figure out how to get a guy like that here, if you put a center on our team that's bigger, stronger, meaner, you know, all of a sudden maybe Luke Altmaier gets six less hurries this year, eight less hurries.
But you know what, Mike? He's probably been the best offensive lineman.
Yeah, I agree. Kruitz is not the issue.
I mean, he's a different guy, but I think it prevents them from doing fourth and inch things now. They don't get under center and push through because he's smaller, right? Right.
They're not 320. So
it's going to be there. But I mean, you're right. The example is you have to be able to go out and get a guy who can come in and be good right away. And if it means you got to pay him, then you got to pay him, because that's the way the game works now. It's just that simple.
And I'll be real honest with you, Brad. I have no time for a coach. And you've been on the show when I lit up Dabo Sweeney. I mean, if you're not going to use, like, I don't like to use the transfer portal. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. You would never walk into a house that's being built and see a contractor putting a nail in where a screw's supposed to be, because I don't believe in screws. I only use nails. It's a tool. The NIL is a tool. The transfer portal is a tool. You don't fall in love with tools. You use them to fix problems. Now, I'm going to go to the next one, and this is where I'm probably more militant than you guys are, so I'll let you guys play off of this. But, you know, Ryan Walters, to me, you see him run the score up. Look, we've all coached, and we've all been on the wrong side of blowouts, and we've all been on the right side of blowouts. I got to be honest with you. I don't run up the score even on guys who've run it up on me because I got kids that I'm trying to teach how to behave. So at the end of the game there, I take whatever I need to do, but I don't score that last touchdown. And when I get into the gal on the, you know, from Peacock who's interviewing me, asked me seven different questions, you know, that I can say, well, you know, it's my, you know, I got Brett Bielema help me on my journey to a head coach. He didn't say that. So basically, Brian Walters appears to have something against Brett Bielema, and anybody who says, well, if you can't stop him, sorry. That's the law of the jungle that we're supposedly with college athletics and amateur athletics, we're supposed to show, you know, better judgment and educate the kids that we're coaching a little bit on class. Look, Ryan Walters, I evidently he's got some sort of chip on his shoulder because Brett Bielema brought him over after struggling at Missouri. He had two fantastic years and gets promoted to be a Big Ten coach. And there was no reason to score that touchdown. And there was no reason in the interview not to credit Brett Bielema, along with other people who were influential in his rise to becoming a 35 or 36 year old head coach in the Big Ten, which does not happen that often. Brad?
Yeah, I especially, you know, I'm actually texted you about that. I said, you know, seemed like, you know, they because the time was under 2 minutes, they could have taken a knee and been.
Oh, yeah. Right? I was already seething.
And you know, so easily could have done that, taken three knees, gone home. Right.
Yep.
But here's the thing. The other thing was in the postgame press conference, he certainly had an opportunity to just say, you know, I have great respect for Brett and the way he runs his program, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just worry about my guys. The other thing that for Ryan Walters, and this was what I would do. So if I'm recruiting against Ryan Walters, here's what I would tell. He ran it up on kids that he coached. This is what I tell him. He doesn't care about you. You're just a tool and he uses you. So I've got a great sell right now. He doesn't care about you because when he left, he immediately ran it up on them. He didn't just beat them. You know, he had to rub it in their face and he didn't give any respect to those guys. He didn't say anything, you know, and things like that. So I'd use that in recruiting because, you know, he tries to make these personal relationships. Now use it against him. You know, this is, if we're going to be cutthroat, then be cutthroat. You know what I mean? I mean, that's totally the whole thing. I think sometimes people are just too nice and it's time to, you know, all the friendly back and forth. I'd be done with that. But Mike, it's everybody. It's always us against the world. Everybody's us against the world. You know, we're this or we're that. I mean, Purdue won the Big Ten West last year. You're not us against the world. I mean, they won the comp.
Yeah, and again,
the Big Ten West. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, and I go back to this. You're right. That whole victim, we're the victim crap is everywhere in society nowadays. But
yeah,
hey, you know what? He won the game, so that answer, as long as you win, everything's okay, right?
Yep.
Ed, what do you think? Because you crushed us one time out in Macomb or somewhere in Western Illinois, and you didn't run it up, although we gave you guys the ball enough when you were playing half court defense that it looked like you were pressing us.
Feelings on it, and this is probably going to be all over the place, so bear with me, listeners. Here's what I thought about today. I thought that was classless. I do. Because, you know, in football, he could have been neat. I don't care what anybody says to me. Brett Bielema would not have done that. I mentioned to him before the pass, and he just mentioned it now, but Ryan Walters had a chance to thank Brett. That is the only reason he has a Purdue job, because I don't care what it is. He's making millions of money at Purdue than he was because of that guy. When I said I'm all over the place, when I coached, I'm such a competitive jerk. If my team was getting blown out, you know, it's a fine line. Do you, you know, if my team's getting beat 30 points and the team wants to press, I'm going to be honest. I didn't get mad at the team. You know why? Because that's my job. I've told my kids in timeout, you mad, you don't like it, then get better. Because in reality, you really could. But you don't go out there and then if you're up by 40, try to jack up three. If you shoot threes, if you open a shot clock runs down, do you take a layup? That's why I said there's a fine line. But in football, I think personally is totally different because you can definitely try not, because you can just run the ball, guys can slide down to where you don't run the score up. I didn't like that today, but on the flip side of it, none of us are happy with the way Illinois played today. And this is the big boy. And they should have scored more points. If you can't score 30 points in college football today, you're not winning. And that's on Illinois. That's not on Ryan Walters.
Agreed, totally.
No, I mean, you have to score. But you know what? That's like being, you know, working with the Illini guys and then going to another company and then trying to rub it in your face when I know the great place and what you guys have provided for me. You have to be better people than that. But I'll close it with this. Brad is right. The world we live in today is nasty. And today, that's a result of that. I've seen that. No way would I've ever done that today to Brett Bielema, because he's a classic guy. And people, Brett's going to say the right thing, but he's competitive. If you play sports, you know that knife is turning in his back. You know he's pissed about that. Sorry about that. You know he is. And whether the message of kids can see it and they want to compete, that's on them.
You know, ultimately, we all make choices. And, you know, I guess ultimately, I would just not hide behind anything. I'd say, yeah, you know, I wanted to show him that, you know, I should have been a head coach a year earlier, or I should have got all the credit for the defense, or who knows whatever burr is in his saddle. And if it's I didn't realize I was, you know, that I was doing that. It's like, dude, man up. The last thing we think about Ryan Walters is he's stupid. So, you know, he had an opportunity, as Brad noted, to say something in the post game. He didn't. And to me, that's two times that you did something. And if you have a grievance, either air it out, but please don't play the innocent card like, oh, did that happen? I didn't notice that happening. Hopefully he won't do that.
The last thing you'd say about Ryan Walters, I mean, this dude is bright.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's a really good, you know, I agree with you. Yeah. He knows what's going on. He's smart. He's very, very smart.
So as we're just about to wrap up and Matt Stevens will be coming onto the podcast, Brad, do you have any final comments here that we haven't hit on before you exit stage right?
Well, I think the biggest thing, Illinois got to, they have to play better. They have to execute better. They have to block better. They have to tackle better. They have to, but so a lot of it's on the players. They had some opportunities to make plays, but it's also the coaches have to do a better job putting them in position to be successful. I mean, I really believe that. I really think that they did not do a good job of that on either side of the football in this one.
Okay. And Ked, any wrappings from you before we get Matt on the horn?
Get the offensive line, get in the trenches, start over, if that makes any sense, and you got to correct things. They have to go back and look at film and make adjustments. I believe in the staff. I know they can do it, but the season's not over, you know. And, yes, you're going to be – I would stay off social media. The fans are going to be chirping. They're going to be upset. Keep your locker room close and make the necessary changes that you need, because this is a good coaching staff. The losses, like Brad mentioned, 1-7 against last Power Five, that's not a good look.
Perfect. So there you've seen that, folks. We're going to take a quick break here for advertising, and when we're back, Matt Stevens will be here live from RossAid, the site of the massacre.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com.
And we are back from commercial break. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and Brad and Ked have left the building, but we do have Matt Stevens, who is in the stadium still, and he'll be working on a story. Matt, we've went through quite a few things here, a lot of frustration and really The offensive line play was atrocious. The penalties were ridiculous, sure. And a couple, two or three more first downs that the defense provides to another team. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you want me to address first? The offensive line play is real simple. Okay. It's really bad. It's been really bad. If it's going to get better, it's got to get better. Okay. Let me just really depress Illinois fans, because I'm almost positive. I haven't gone on our boards and I haven't gone on the post game thread on our board.
It's not good.
I don't imagine it would be. And they're probably excellent takes. I really honestly believe after stuff like this, you really can't have unless it's play John Paddock or Caleb Griffin was really the problem. You can't really have a bad take today. Look, but the depression is going to come here when I say this. If the offensive line is going to get better, it's got to get better with the six dudes they're playing. Because the guys they're not playing aren't better. I'm just telling you, they're not ready or they're not better.
Now let me give you one contra indication on that, and you tell me.
Okay.
So Deion Sanders had a wide receiver who's been chirping at him about get me on the field, get me on the field. Mm-hmm. So he plays that kid when they're down by three touchdowns, mm-hmm. and the kid ends up catching, I believe it was seven balls for 194 yards and a touchdown. He hadn't caught a single ball all season. Is mm-hmm. there any reason to put a guy or two out there? I'm not saying everybody, not certainly in mass, but is there any reason to try some guys to see if maybe they play better with some adrenaline? I'm just spitballing here because I watched it this afternoon with USC. That's the only reason.
That's a skill position, Mike. And if it was a skill position problem at Illinois, I'd have no problem with that. But when it gets close to the football and it gets to offensive line, they're not ready. They're not physically ready. They're not schematically ready. And quite frankly, if they're not in the two deep right now, they're not ready. The six guys that played, the seven guys that played, because they subbed in Hunter Whitenick and Jordan Slaughter. So the seven guys that are in the mix, they've got to make it work. I'm sorry. There's no magic bullet. There's no guy on the bench. There's nobody who didn't make the travel roster at offensive line that's going to save this. They have to make it work. Specifically, also, Bart Miller has to try and make this work schematically because it's not working. I mean, what they're doing from a schematic standpoint isn't working. And this is going to get into basically what my feature is going to be about. My column is going to be about this is the worst case scenario for Illinois. The guy who was your defensive coordinator less than a year ago, who is in a year zero situation here. And what I mean by year zero is he's going to have to flush this roster to actually get stylistically the way he wants to actually play here at Purdue, which is why they lost their first three home games here. This roster is going to have to be flushed in a big, big way. He embarrassed you today. He embarrassed Brett Bielema today. Ryan Walters, it's 1-0, but it's an emphatic 1-0 over Brett Bielema for Ryan Walters and Kevin Kane right now. Because this is the worst case scenario. Because the whole, and I'm not just talking about like inside the building, I'm talking about with fans. They were all I heard all spring long and all summer long was it's not that big a deal. Brett's still here. Aaron was doing a lot of stuff. Andy Boo was doing a lot of stuff. Terrence Jameson was doing a lot of stuff. Losing Ryan and Kevin's not going to be that big a deal. It's a big deal. Because among all the other things, and we can talk, we're going to talk a lot of offense. Fine. This Illinois team is going to leave with the worst ranked defense in the Big Ten again. I mean, when they wake up on Sunday, they're going to be the 14th best defense in the Big Ten from a yardage given up standpoint again. So, and then it just looks ridiculous because you've got Isaiah Williams coming and talking to us and saying, I played against this defense every day in practice. They're not running a new defense. You think Ryan Walters and Kevin Kane are running a new defense? No, this is the same defense that they saw all last year. This is the same defense that these veterans on this team saw all of last year, and they absolutely pantsed you, and they made it so that you were 0 for your first 10 on third down, and those third down conversions were an average of 10 and a half yards per attempt. That's really hard. By the way, that's really hard to do, seeing as how if you don't gain any yards on first and second down, it's third and 10. You started this year on let's say August 1st when camp started, and the mentality was for fans and for, I don't know, people in the building, hey, we've got a 3-year head start on Purdue, on Nebraska, on somebody else in the West. Oh, Wisconsin. We got a 3-year head start in player development and how we want to run our program here at Illinois. We are so far ahead of everybody that we should be dominating, and we might have a competence advantage over what Iowa's doing on offense. None of that exists now. All of that is fugazi, complete and utter fugazi. And so you have an offense that is completely out of sync. And I'm telling you guys the same stuff that was said about the defense following the Kansas, the uncomfortable conversations that are coming on Sunday, the uncomfortable conversations they're having with players, the uncomfortable conversations that Brett Bielema is going to have with coaches. That's coming in less than 24 hours when they get back to Champaign. When they watch this tape and they do the corrections on Sunday, it is going to be the most uncomfortable day in a lot of those guys since they signed their letter of intent to play at Illinois. And I do believe it's going to be a lot of veteran guys that are going to stand up in front of coaches and say, this isn't working. Because I know that on defense, a lot of players stood up in front of coaches and said, this is not working. And so I'm just telling you, it's got to get, but here's the end game here. Okay. The end game is that everything you saw today has to get corrected by the guys that are in charge of it, whether that's players, if that's the offensive line, it's got to be the 7 guys that played today. Practically, it's got to be the 7 guys that played today. If it's not them, Illinois is completely FUBAR, and it's going to go down the toilet about as quickly as it did today, the rest of the year. If it's coaching, it's got to be the coaches that are there. Because if you're Brett Bielema, here's the other thing, is that if you're Brett Bielema and you end year 3, you cannot go through a second offensive coordinator after year 3. Okay, at some point, you know, after you do that, you stop pointing the finger and people start pointing the thumb. And it's like, hey, man, like, this isn't working with Tony Peterson. This isn't working with Barry Lunny. Why isn't this working? Like, they're not morons. Like, so the idea of it has to be a different defense offensive coordinator, I think it's got to work with Barry. And so you have to hope, if you're an Illini fan, that that gets better. If it's the running, and I'm telling you right now, like, we talked to Isaiah Adams for no more than 2 minutes, and we got the identity stuff again. Like Brett Bielema saying, we're 5 games in, we're a month into the season. I don't know what our identity is on offense. And we asked the question of Isaiah Adams, and you know what he said? Power running should be our identity. And I don't know if they've got to make run the dang ball orange and blue shirts, but maybe they should, because Illinois maybe needs to run the dang ball. And you know who would love Illinois to run the dang ball? Luke Altmyer.
Well, it'd be a lot safer for him.
And yeah, maybe on third down, I don't have so many 300 pounders wanting to sit on my head. Like, so the whole thing is just a disaster today. You came to this thing thinking that you had a 3-year head start on whatever the heck Ryan Walters was trying to build here in West Lafayette. And in a matter of 60 minutes of game time, that just went completely down the toilet. He's further ahead than you right now. He's further ahead because it's his defense last year that got you to where you were last year. He's brought that to Purdue. He doesn't have anybody that he trusts to really run it from a personnel player standpoint. And he beat you 44-19, right? Like, I mean, there's no reason why Ryan Walters in a year 0 situation where he had lost 3 straight home games here at Ross-Ade should come in and beat you 44-19. And he did. And we're going to get to a lot of issues, but like, we can start with offensive line. And I'm sorry, but like, look, Isaiah Adams is going to have to get better at right tackle. And Zy Chrisler, if he's not completely gone injury wise, is going to have to get better at guard. And Josh Getzky is going to have to get better at guard. And Hunter Whitenick's probably going to have to get better at guard. there's no magic bullet that's sitting on the bench waiting to come in the game that Bart Miller hasn't used that's going to save this 2023 season up front. There just isn't. And then the last part is the defense, because I thought they had a really, really good first half. I mean, they held Purdue's offense to 10 points. Purdue's defense scored 6. And then they just got run over in the second half. I mean, the last score from Ryan Walters, I applaud Ryan Walters, because if you want to send a message to your former boss that anything you can do, I can do better, buddy boy. Like, I can join it up and run it down your throat.
Well, I'll tell you what, we take different things on that, and you haven't coached as much as I have. I thought it was fairly classless move when you have the opportunity and if you're up against somebody you hate, yeah, you run the score up, fine. But when you're running up against the guy whose main fault was to hire you away from a Missouri crowd that didn't think you were any good, and then puts you in a position that you can and makes phone calls for you to get you a job as a Big Ten coach at 36, and you run the score up on him, and then you take a second opportunity when you're on TV where they kind of give you the chance to say your old mentor is a good guy, and you pass on that. You know, Brad had a pretty good idea. You know, these are also kids that you supposedly care about, that you recruited, that you want, and you're running up the score on them as well. If you have a problem with Brett Bielema, I don't know what it would be, but call him up on the phone, hash it out. But running up the score on kids when you could have easily taken a knee, I don't think Brett Bielema would have done it the other way around. And that comes from a guy who spent 15 years coaching. I don't run up score on people, even when they do it to me. You can comment. You played athletics. You know about it. So and maybe I'm totally wrong on this.
I watched Brett Bielema do it in the Axe game to Tim Brewster and go for two, like multiple times. Like, you're not playing to a fan base. You're playing to a fan base that you want to ingratiate yourself in. This is a big deal to Purdue to win the Cannon and win a rivalry game. I watched the one thing I'll take issue with that you said is that I don't think Brett Bielema would do it. I watched him do it to Tim Brewster.
Did Tim get him his head coaching job?
No, but okay. It's a rivalry game. It's the Axe game in Wisconsin. And Brett knew what the score was, and he didn't have to go for two, and he did it. I know what that was coming from Ryan. It was, I am going to run the ball down your throat because that is your bread and butter now. And I am going to prove that your bread and butter isn't as good as what I can do late in the game. And when you're recruiting against Illinois, which they're going to do for an awful long time, there's a new dynamic here in play. And it's Ryan Walters took a job at a rival school and knows, you know, he knows the score here. Like, I mean, yeah. The fact of the matter is that, you know, did he have to show up in front of the Smith Center to pick Hudson Card up after his official visit a week before Christmas?
I have no problem with that. Yeah.
He never did. But, like, he knew to do it because he knew, A, it would help him in that recruiting battle against a rival of my former employer, and B, it would probably piss off my former employer.
I would be mad that somebody thought of something better than I did. That I got no problem with. I'd seem driving off.
At that point, okay, yeah. I feel like on this point we're just splitting hairs because Illinois got their ass beat today.
Oh no, they got their ass beat. No, totally.
And I'm just telling you, like, I watched Brett Bielema do the same thing to Tim Brewster. Like, so yeah. I mean, honest to God, like, I've seen it more often.
Maybe that's the image. Like I said, we all have different images we want to project. And look, if you win, you get, that's the beauty of winning. Anything you do when you win is okay, because that's fine. You know what I mean? If you win, you get a dictator.
Well, that's part of my column too, is that Ryan Walters gets to write the history right now, because winners get to write the history.
No matter
what kind of situation
he does till next year. Yeah, I mean, that's the nature of sports, right?
Brett Bielema's 0-3 against Purdue, so like,
that's the nature of it. Like, Bill Belichick gets to ride it until he gets knocked off, and then people are gonna, you know, and that's just kind of the cyclical nature of sports. You know, you're gonna
I just feel like this permeates for a long time.
This will totally live for quite some time now.
And what I mean by that is that, again, you lost a 3-year head start in 60 minutes of action here at West Lafayette.
Now, in fairness, I'll say I'll add one last thing to this and we can move on. The sure. I do think, like, I understand why Kevin Kane would be mad, want to run it up. Totally get that because he
you
wanted...
mean like leaving a defensive coordinator job at SMU and exactly. then not being promoted at Illinois?
Exactly. To me, Kevin Kane got a reason to be mad. Totally understand it. Ryan Walters, it mystifies me.
So if but... I'm writing the pseudo, I guess. Fan fiction here, if I'm a Purdue fan, and Kevin on the sideline turned to Ryan and said, "Hey Ryan, run it up, leave no doubt." Like what's Ryan to do? Like, and oh, by the way, like Purdue's not supposed to be good at running the football. Like,
oh no, I honestly
was like, hey, I wouldn't be shocked if Ryan was like, hey, I'll just hand it off three times and then I'll punt.
Yeah.
And then three times happened and they got another first down and another first down and another yeah. first down and another first down. At some point, like, you got to stop the bleeding and if you're Illinois, just go, hey, this is getting ridiculous. Like, and then, you know,
they certainly didn't. There's no doubt about
that.
No.
And yeah. And so at some point you've got to get the stop and at least not make it look as bad as it's going to look in the final box score. And Illinois didn't do that either. So
like I said, if you lose, it's Katie by the door. They can kick you in. There's no doubt. That is totally yeah. the rules. And then it's up right. to the other guy who's the leader of the other side to decide how you do it. He gets to write it. And Ryan decided how he wanted to write it.
So like,
don't run away from it.
We've addressed the offensive line. It's got to be, it's got to be.
What about the penalties? What are they going to do in the penalties?
I mean, this is now a month long thing. And I mean, again, I guess the solution is what? A guy like Taz Nicholson gets a 15-yard penalty and then you're going to what? Sit him? Like, I mean, I'm just telling you.
Yeah,
like,
I know. It's a tough one now.
Now you're playing Zach Tobe, who, like, Graham Harrell's not an idiot, and he goes, oh, that true freshman number five is out there. I'll just go attack him.
Right, like, exactly.
And so, you know, that's not playing winning football either. So, you know, it's got to be – look, I'm just telling you, Sunday in the Smith Center is going to be a day where if you have access to that building, don't record anything because it's not going to be pleasant. And I'm just telling you, like, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going through that building, coaches, players, administration, staff members that are just going to be on pins and needles and walk on eggshells all day because they know what's coming in terms of an uncomfortable nature. And what's going to happen? I mean, this review is just not going to be fun because, again, if you're Brett Bielema, you've got to come in and whip Ryan in 2023. Like, you have to do it. You absolutely have to do it. And when you don't do it, it basically, you know, it justifies the opinion that you're not as far along in this program as one, you thought in August or in the spring, and two, you're not further along than these teams that are completely starting completely over, like a Purdue and like a Nebraska and maybe even like a Wisconsin. So that's troubling. That's very, very troubling if you're Brett Bielema right now. And oh, by the way, you're now a month into the season and you're 2-3 and you have no idea what your offensive identity is. And you have no ability to figure it out with a dominating defense because, you know, the personnel on your defense is different. And two of the guys that were major contributors to that number one ranked defense in 2022 are now coaching in West Lafayette and beat you 44-19. So, and those same two guys are recruiting against you. So that's a huge problem. And so this is just the biggest problem. This is just the weirdest feeling if you're Brett Bielema, because you're just sitting there and you're going, this is not good. I mean, this is the worst. Again, I'll just read you the first line from my column. This is the worst case scenario if you're Brett Bielema and the University of Illinois football program.
I think a loss would have been okay. Just this type of loss is like the worst case. So, you know, I mean, you can't get just toasted, which is what happened. I will say with you may have to make some hard decisions in terms of who plays if the penalties are consistently happening. So in other words, you know, if you have somebody who's consistently drawing the flag.
But it's not the same guy. Like, I wish it was the same guy. I think Brett Bielema and a lot of the coaches wish it was the same guy. It's not the same guy. You know, early in the year, it was veterans, you know, and like today it's Taz Nicholson and it's a couple of other guys. You know, it was Tyreek Barnes in Kansas, like, and it can't be him. Like, it can't be Taz Nicholson, but like, it's not the same dude. Like, honestly, it's just not. And then, you know, the offensive penalties that are setting you back, that's not the same guy that's committing those all the time. So, I mean, at some point you've got to flush it from the building, because if it's not the same guy, then you've got a culture problem. And I'm telling you right now, like they have a penalty problem. There's no doubt about that. I don't know how to solve it, because if it were the same guy, you would just play somebody else. But it's not the same guy. And
it is. I will say one thing though. Many times it's the same style, especially, you know, the hit that, like, it's not really a totally late hit. It's not, you know, but yet it's enough that in today's game, you're like, oh yeah, that's going to be a flag.
Well, you know, I thought Illinois got away with like two or three of them, to be honest with you.
Well, that's
talking about late hit. And honestly, I actually think Taz Nicholson's lucky that he's able to play the other three quarters, because I thought it was targeting. I didn't think it was a late hit. I thought it was targeting.
But he did. The shoulder pad into the helmet was pretty.
But it's intentional contact to the head. I don't care if it's your shoulder pad or if it's your butt or if it's your head. If it's intentional, if it's intentional to the head, no matter what you do, it could be your forearm.
Well,
you're gone.
Like I said, those are the ones. Anytime you go near the head in today's game, you know you're going to get.
So they got him for a late hit, but they let him play the other three quarters.
Right.
I thought that was a break for Illinois, to be honest. So
well, and that's what I'm saying though. Those type of penalties, like somehow you got to teach the guys, like, hey. I mean, again, we were lucky in our day because we could just go run into people and nobody called anything. But, you know, somehow there's a lot of those. If you look at them, there's a lot of the 15 yarders that are, you know, either just a little bit late or they're going, you know, toward you just kind of like, okay, we got to figure out a way to coach that different or something. Cause, you know, we're looking at,
I'm not going to say that this is part of the problem, Mike, but there's a lot of bravado coming out of that building in the spring and in preseason camp in August.
Well, that should be gone now.
Well, have you met Aaron Henry? I don't think that leaves. Like, I don't think that leaves you. Like, that is who you are. And so there's a lot of chestiness with this Illinois team. It just is. When I talked about the confidence that was coming out of this building in early August, like, there was a lot of chestiness. Aaron Henry promotes that. You've seen the way his DBs. I don't know a better word than behave, you know, after big plays. Like, that's Aaron. That's their coach. You know, he recruits those guys to be exactly who they are. And there's jestiness that's going through this entire building.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out something. Cause I will tell you, what was it? How many first downs was it today? Was it three that they gave up by penalty or was it two?
It might've been three. I'll look at it, but like, I'm more concerned with third down. Yeah,
but it's every week, you know, you're getting three, two, three, four. I think one week they had
two.
Five.
Yeah, it was two.
Two. Yeah. So we're just the Illinois defense is not good enough to give a team two extensions to, you know, two free passes to a first down. And then they can't get off of the field on third downs. There's a lot to fix there.
They can't get off the field on third down because it's usually like third and four.
Right.
Usually like third and three, third and four. And there's no, I mean, like today there was, I mean, granted, like the air raid usually tries to get the ball out. Like you saw Mike Leach's air raid in the bowl game, you know, sacks weren't going to come on Will Rogers. Okay. They just weren't. Graham Harrell's is a little different, where if you want to get Hudson Card on the ground, you can do it. Like there've been ways to do it, and he's actually fumbled. There was a turnover problem with Hudson Card the last two games. That's why Purdue lost to Syracuse and to Wisconsin. That didn't happen today because there was little to no pass rush. And so that's a problem. But that's also a problem because, you know, you're in a third and five and you don't know what's coming. You don't know if a run's coming or a pass is coming. So you're kind of playing while thinking, mean, your Gabe Yacuses and your Seth Coleman's and your Johnny Newton's and your Keith Randall's were playing and thinking at the same time. And last year they were just playing.
Right, exactly.
Because it was third and eight and it was time to eat. And if we didn't get a sack, you were going to throw it to Devin Witherspoon and it was probably going to get picked. Like,
right.
Or we were getting off the field. So that's just not happening. There's not enough playmakers. And the playmakers that they do have right now just are not playing with any sort of confidence that is indicative of what you saw last year. And quite frankly, last year's gone. Like the whole thing.
That's the biggest thing that everybody has to get over. That last year is last year. And this is, you know, anybody who's been an Illinois fan for any amount of time knows that the year after is always the most dangerous time because you have the year and then you have the year after, which has historically been pretty bad.
Yeah, maybe this is a setup for another podcast, Mike, because I think it is, and I don't want to hit this too hard, but like year after what?
Well, the year for Illinois.
Like they didn't win the West.
Right.
They didn't get to Indianapolis. Yeah. They didn't win more than eight games.
Well, but they got the eight games, which Matt, do you know if you take out the 2001 Sugar Bowl year and the 2007 Rose Bowl year, do you know when the last time Illinois won eight games was?
No, but I know that's not anything that these players need to like get chesty about. Like
the 80s though. I think
fine. But like there's nothing about 2022 other than you took a step forward that you need to get all that freaking chesty about.
I agree, but think about the Illini fan that people that see these players every day. They're like, thank God for winning eight games. We didn't know it could be done. I mean, seriously, it's happened twice.
Again, this is keep it in your back pocket, Mike, because this might be a podcast for another day. But maybe that's part of the problem.
It could
honest
be.
To God,
it very
maybe
well
that's
could
part
be.
Of the problem.
It very
maybe,
well
maybe
could
it's
be.
Maybe it's rotten from the root. And I'm just telling you, like, so, but yeah, again, look, 44-19. This was a disaster.
Yeah, you know, it was a disaster on every sense of it. About the only non-disaster of the day was Caden Fagan.
Yeah, with who I think if Reggie Love is not able to go, you might see more of Caden, honestly. And I wasn't sure early on. I talked about this with one of my colleagues on this beat. I wasn't sure if Caden was going to be I didn't know if the bright lights were going to be too bright for him his true freshman year.
They don't appear to be.
By the way, and I have to do this because you know I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
Mike, what position does he play? All of our paid subscribers, I want to remind what position does he play?
Is he a running back?
Is he going to continue to play? That's right. He's a running back.
Subscribers, if you're listening to this and you're not a subscriber of IlliniGuys.com, one of the things we feature is what we call a message board. It's part of what you get when you pay the subscription. And you can go back there and argue with other Illini fans. And you can argue with Brad, Matt, Ked, myself, Larry about this, that, or the other thing. And there's been a long ongoing run that Matt said that Fagan was going to play running back, period. And many people disagreed with him. And so he is feeling very good because he is correct that he apparently is going to be not only a running back, but is going to play a lot as a true freshman. So
that I was correct that like the reality I was watching every day in practice wasn't like me in an optimal unit, like in another Back to the Future universe. Like, give me a break. Like, anyway, I did think the lights might be too bright for him early on in his career, especially in his true freshman year. I don't think that anymore. I think that he's going to be able to be a contributor as a true freshman. And then I think that he's going to get more. Look, I think that if Brett Bielema, I think one of these uncomfortable conversations that Brett Bielema is going to have is if Isaiah Adams is right, and I get the sense that Brett Bielema feels this way too. If they want to be a power running team for the rest of the season, first of all, they might please God, like tell Kedrick Prince, this is what the identity is going to be so that he doesn't bother me about it for the next 2 months about how boring Illinois offense is going to be. Look, if this is the way it's going to be, I think that Caden Fagan probably needs to touch the football a lot more, especially if Reggie Love is going to continue to wear a boot on his foot. And so that's that's going to be how this works. And I think that the way that you also take pressure off your quarterback, who can't buy beer for another few weeks because he's 20 years old, is going to be protected to probably run the football and run it a lot more effectively on first and second down. So you're not in third and 10. And then Luke Altmyer gets to almost die because there's 300-pound people that are coming for him and wanting to hurt him very badly. So there's a lot of things going on with this offense that needs to change. Maybe that's one of them, that you know, the power running game needs to come back, and maybe number three needs to touch the football a little bit more.
Well, I think, look, anybody who thought that, you know, they'd rather pass the ball X number of times versus win games is,
how's that going for you?
Is going to be rethinking their strategy.
Because Luke Altmyer's got a hell of a lot of arm talent, folks.
Like, what I get worried about is I'll be honest with you, he's taken way too many hits for a guy who he's listed at 205. I'm not certain he's 205, but for the third time in five games,
he's taken too many hits, Mike. If he was Jared Lorenzen, you may be right,
but I will tell you, he's, for the third game in five, he's kind of limped on that right leg, and you can tell because he starts throwing with a backwards. I got to throw with a backwards motion there. And I really worry though that, you know, they've got to protect him better because he does have the arm talent, but I think it's awfully hard to try to figure out, like it was funny listening to this clown on Peacock talk about, well, he needs to do this. And it's like, he's running for his life. I'm not certain that this is the time to perfect the throwing a football through, you know, three different, he doesn't have the time to wait till the three tires swinging from trees line up in a perfect thing so he can throw through all three at once. You know, I mean, there was a lot of improvising done back there that I don't think, as Illini fans, we didn't think he was going to be under that type of duress at the start of the year.
I was concerned about Luke's right leg until I saw him do the scramble right before the half and then the slide. He looked unbelievably healthy there. And so,
well, the second half he got up again, at least they showed on the replay.
I think physically he's okay.
Okay, good.
But I think, no, he's taking too many hits. Yeah. Like, everybody can see that. I mean, I don't care how big he is, he's taking too much punishment. And so, look, I mean, I don't know how many times Rip Bielema has to say it. They're not pass protecting. They're not protecting their quarterback. And a month into the season, you have no guard that you can trust. And the guy that's playing right tackle did not start the year at right tackle and isn't 100% confident in right tackle. And when he plays in the three-letter league next year, which I'm sure Isaiah Adams will, he will not be a tackle. He will probably be a guard.
Right, right.
And so that's a major problem. I mean, if you want to do this, Mike, I remember doing the dueling columns with Kedrick Prince about the recruiting. I think it was like before the 2023 signing class. And I went, this isn't going well. And sure enough, like, I don't expect any of these guys in the 2022 class or in the 2023 class to be ready to go on the offensive line. But I mean, I'm sorry, but look at those classes right now and tell me, like, who's contributing. Not very many. And like, those guys just aren't ready to play right now. And so, and I hear this all the time. Like, look, you mentioned the message boards. I hear this all the time. Well, they've got to go portal in the, you know, on the offensive line. I wish them the best of luck. I wish them the best of luck humanly possible. I wish Brett Bielema and his staff humanly luck if that's the way they want to go. I'm just here to tell you as a reporter to hopefully make you a more informed Illini fan. Brett Bielema does not believe in giving pay-for-play money out of the portal. And he does not believe in filling holes, you know, a lot of starting holes in the portal. So yeah,
I think that it'll be interesting to see that belief run into reality, depending on what happens this season. And the fact of the matter is, it may not matter what he believes if there's no dollars to do it, because we all know that these guys you know, the NIL dollars are there for high value transfers, and it's a reality of the game, which if you don't have the ante to get in, you know, I don't ever go into the $100 room in Vegas, you know, because I don't put $100 down for a, you know, a hand of blackjack. And if you don't have the money, you can't play, right?
There's a reason why there's a guy playing center for Auburn right now.
And by the way, he looked good this afternoon because I did watch him.
Okay. And was enrolled in classes at Illinois, had an apartment in Champaign. Illinois did not get outbid for that young man. Auburn simply bid.
Yeah.
Like, let's get the vocabulary correct. If one person bids and you don't bid, you did not get outbid. They just simply put in a bid and won. Like, that's how this works. This is America. So, I just don't feel like if you're banking on the portal solving your problems, if you're banking on junior college solving your problems, the two problems you've got right now are Zy Chrisler and Isaiah Adams, and they came from junior college. Like, and they're good players, but they're not great players. And they're developmental talents that are probably playing, I know this, at right tackle, Zy Chrisler was playing out of position. And right now at right tackle, Isaiah Adams is playing out of position. So, Bart Miller is going to have a really uncomfortable Sunday because he's got to figure out what to do with seven guys that might not be capable of A, protecting his quarterback, and B, making his quarterback's life a lot better on third down when they want to run the football on first and second down. That's a major problem. And for this fan base that wants Brett Bielema to fire his second offensive coordinator in 3 years, that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen, folks. I'm sorry. Like, I just can't see it happening. I can see Brett Bielema saying, hey, Barry, you've got to figure this out, and having a really uncomfortable conversation with Barry about, hey, who needs to play, what we need to be doing, A, B, C, and D. But I don't see that changing in terms of personnel, because how many times, like, he's got 6 years left, guaranteed. What's he going to do? Go through four or five offensive coordinators in that 6 year period? No, like, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, making a copy of a picture, Mike. Like, you make a copy of that picture the third time, it doesn't look as good as when you know, the original of the second time or the first time or the actual original of the thing. So, you know, if you fire Barry Lunney, guess what? The prospects of who wants to coach your offense after
just got a lot more expensive. Yes.
Well, not only you get more, okay, fine. It got more expensive, yeah. Maybe, but the talent pool of coaches just got smaller and probably less talented. Like, and that's the way that this works. So the frustrating, and I'm sure the depressing thing is that when you talk about the offensive line, when you talk about the wide receivers, when you talk about the running backs, you know, when you talk about, you know, the pass rush, when you talk about the secondary, it's got to get better with the guys that are playing a majority of snaps right now. It's got to get better with the guys that contributed to your 2-3 record. And if it doesn't get better with those guys, the season's going to go down the toilet. And you saw that.
Well, at what point do we, think here that, I mean, look, I look at it as you are what your record says you are. That's always been kind of my mantra. But right, we saw a 1-3 team look like a college football playoff team today, and we saw a 2-2.
No, they didn't. I mean, and Ryan would be the first to tell you that, because it didn't look like good football in the first half. No, they didn't. Like, honest to God, like,
second half they looked superior. Unbelievable.
They did. But maybe that's because Illinois played like trash. And I think Ryan would be the first to tell you that I don't think I have close to what I want here at Purdue going forward. That's why Syracuse is able to come in here and beat the
brakes
off of Purdue.
But
that's why Wisconsin, which has always been a competitive game, especially here at Ross-Ade for Purdue, was anything but last Friday. Like, and look,
let's face it. There's a lot more motivation for the Purdue players coming in, and like, this is our guy's old team. We want to prove how good he is, versus the Illini players coming in saying, oh, this guy's a good guy. You know, I mean, the motivation for the players is much better the first time. Now, that'll tilt back in Illinois' favor next season. But
maybe, but like, you've also, like, look, you know, you've also confusingly looked really bad. Like, you know, motivation, my butt. Like, you're 1-7 in your last, you know, 8 games against power conference opponents, and the one win is Northwestern. Like, at some point, the motivation is, hey, get off your butt and beat somebody that's worth a darn. Like, yeah, they're gonna honest, have to do that. Honestly, like, so this was the game. And oh, by the way, motivation, my butt. If you wanted to get to Indianapolis, you had to win this game. Like, pretty much that's gone. Like, so, Illinois had Illinois knew what this game was too, and they knew who was on the other sideline. And I mean, like, these are competitive people, and you don't think they wanted to win it really bad? You don't think those defensive players wanted to, like Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph and Gabe Yakis and, you know, even Miles Scott, who was wide receiver at the time, but like wanted to look at Ryan Walters and go, no, that was us. That wasn't you and Kevin. That was us, man. Like, that, there's competitive juices that were flying on both sides. Like, I don't think Purdue had it easy. I think the only reason Purdue really had it easy was because maybe they had it. It was here at home in West Lafayette. But I can also tell you, after covering this program, and I watched this program lose three straight home games under Jeff Brohm, Ross Ade isn't the home field advantage anybody thinks it is. And I've seen Purdue play a lot better on the road than I've seen them play in West Lafayette for some strange reason. So I think Ryan was dealing with that too. This game is just uber confusing, and it's uber frustrating, and I'm sure I've just made it uber depressing with what the
situation. Yeah, we're all the same way, because you're looking at the schedule here, and you're like, okay, so what exactly are we going to win? Because this is, and I said it earlier in the podcast.
Oh, you want to play the schedule game? This is
no, but this, this is gonna get this, interesting. This is probably the worst team that I've seen blow Illinois out. And I've seen a lot of games, but this team's mediocre, and they blew the doors off of Illinois in the second half. And as I look at it, you know, you think, hey, next week, Nebraska, you know, they're going to be hungry because they want to get a win. They've looked bad. You know, Maryland looks excellent. They look like they are one of the more underrated teams.
Oh, Maryland will be a double digit favorite in that game. There's no doubt in my mind.
Wisconsin, I'm not 100% bought in, but they look way better than Illinois right now.
There's no reason why Illinois is a favorite in that game.
Yeah, Minnesota.
There's no reason why Illinois. I mean, yeah, I know they lost at Northwestern.
They didn't
there's
look no good reason, today.
There's no reason why Illinois will be anywhere close to a favorite in Minneapolis.
Yeah, Indiana.
Okay.
And then Iowa.
No way.
Not with that defense. Northwestern. So right now, Illinois has to find, they have to find 4 more wins to go 6-6. And that means you better beat Nebraska. You better beat Indiana, and you better beat Northwestern. And then you're hunting for another one.
This is why I thought the schedule game was ridiculous here, because.
Yeah. You want to find
4 more wins. How about you beat somebody that's worth a damn? Like, well, I'm sorry, but like, I mean, they've got to do that first. You got
to
walk.
Depends on who we're talking to, Matt, because if we had an SEC person on here, they'd say there's only one more. They might say there's nobody good left on the schedule. So, you know, that's.
They would have said that about last year's Purdue and last year's Michigan State, who you also lost.
Exactly.
They would have said that about last year's Mississippi State too. And you lost to them in the bowl game too. They would have said that about this year's Kansas. They would have said that about this year's.
Kansas, we certainly found out that when you play them without Mr. Daniels, we saw that today, just the difference in that team.
Lance knows is what's coming for him now that, you know, Jalen Daniels isn't playing, and that's going to be the same problem that he has last year. But with this Illinois team, Mike, like, I mean, look, my major concerns right now are offensive line. And then it's figuring out a way to just look. I think it was the first, like, how many games has this been? I have to look and see what this is for Bielema, what game number this was for Bielema. Because this is the first time I'm walking away from a stadium and going, did they look competent? Did they look ready to play? Did they look prepared? Did they look as prepared as the dude that was on the other sideline?
Which is very un-Bielema-like, because he's usually on that. And I have to admit, they start off slow, but then again, neither team looked particularly good in the first half.
But then the real depressing thing is you look at the dude on the other sideline and you go, oh, damn it. Like, he was in Champaign last year. Like, and it's like, damn it. Like, you know, and that's why this is the worst case scenario. You're walking it, like your point is well taken, Mike Cagley, because if this had been a 24-20 loss,
you could rationalize a lot out of that.
And you could sit there, even though I still claim the team with the most talent was wearing visiting uniforms today.
That was the general consensus of Brad and Ked. My only argument would be that when the offensive line plays as poorly as Illinois' offensive line is, A, you can't call them talented, and B, I don't know at what level of football you've got a chance at winning the game.
Mike, do you know? I'd love to know. I got to go back and look. Do you know how many 4-star guys are on Purdue's offensive line?
I have
0.
Yeah.
0. Okay. Do you know how many, but I think, and I know this, I, cause I think their starting center is, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm willing to bet you of those 5 offensive linemen at Purdue, one of them is probably a former walk-on, because Jeff Brohm's Achilles heel at Purdue was recruiting offensive linemen. He never did it worth a darn at Purdue. And this is what Ryan got left. So yes, they are playing a lot better. And yes, they are looking a lot more cohesive. And yes, they're keeping Hudson Card a hell of a lot better protected than Illinois is, you know, keeping Luke Altmyer protected. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But are they more talented athletes and football players than the 5 guys that are Illinois putting out there on their offensive line? No, no, they're not.
Well,
no,
based on,
I'm telling you,
based on today.
No, I'm not basing it on performance. I'm basing it on what they have in the tank from a talent perspective, player for player. If everybody's playing at their peak, Illinois is not worse than Purdue.
I would tell
line.
You
Jeff that, Brohm never had a better offensive line.
I know,
than
but I'll tell
else.
You, Matt, the offensive line has been horrible this year. And I
know. And for me, that tells you the chasm of.
So what happened though? So why all of a sudden can Bart not coach offensive linemen?
I'm not saying he can't coach. What I'm saying is okay, let's do this. Like, there was a lot of faith being put in Zia Chrisler, who didn't take a snap in the spring,
right,
and then got hurt again twice in preseason camp, that he was going to be fine.
Right.
That turned out to be complete fugazi, absolute complete fugazi. There was a lot of faith being put in Josh Getsky, who took every snap during the spring and then basically took every snap that Zia Chrisler didn't take in preseason camp, that he was going to be the next Alex Palcheski at guard. That has turned out to be, so far through 5 games, complete fugazi. And because those two things happened, and they have little to no faith in Jordan Slaughter, this is his 6th year at Illinois. If he was part of the solution, they would have gone to him immediately. They're not going to him nearly early enough to make me think that they have full confidence in Jordan Slaughter.
Right.
So at that point, okay, now you're moving maybe your best offensive lineman and the only one of 2 offensive linemen you think you have that are probably going to play in the 3-letter league, along with Julian Pearl at left tackle. You've now moved him to right tackle, where he is not as effective as when he is at left guard. Okay. And, you know, I talked about it with Bart Miller on Thursday. Like, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul at this point. You just are. And, yeah,
so is it going to be, so are they going to go to permanent 2 tight ends where the tight ends are just going to be blockers? I mean,
I think that that's part of the uncomfortable conversation, that if we have a Henry Boyer and we have a Griffin Moore and we have a Tip Ryman, maybe we ought to play 12 personnel more, you know, maybe we ought to play with 2 tight ends, and maybe we ought to play
and a fullback.
I mean, let's not get crazy, but like, I think you haven't seen, I didn't see a lot of 12 personnel today.
I agree.
I saw Luke Altmyer on his wallet an awful lot. I think Henry Boyer at 270 pounds can help you. I think Tip Ryman, when he touches people, can help you, but that's been a disappointment. Tip's supposed to be your blocking tight end, and that's kind of been a disappointment. And then if you play one of those 2 guys with Griffin Moore, you know, you can have a middle of the field passing attack, they feel like, with Griffin Moore. So just like Purdue had on that touchdown pass, it was a complete defensive breakdown right. for
exactly, right? Exactly.
So I mean, I look, it's all bad. It's all bad right now. I just think Sunday is just going to be hell on earth for everybody at Illinois. And I reason I by the way, I'm sorry if people aren't familiar. The reason Sunday is the players come in on Sunday, they get treatment, and then they go over the game. And then they flush it by the end of Sunday night. But by in the way of doing that, while the players are getting treatment, there are staff meetings going on Sunday morning. By the time the players are done with treatment, and then they have player meetings on that Sunday. I don't think any of those things are going to be anything but awkward and terrible.
Well, they kind of need to be if you want to push, you know, you want to push guys to get better, and they've got to get out of their comfort zone.
It happened after the Kansas game, Mike, especially on the defensive side. And I think it's going to happen on the offensive side. I would venture to guess because they are veteran players and they have some pride and they have some competitiveness. And it's because I've talked to both of them like not less than an hour ago. You're going to have Ryan Walters and I'm sorry, you're going to have Isaiah Williams and you're going to have Isaiah Adams walk into these meetings and they're going to hear about everything that they did wrong. Right. What also is going to happen is I think just like I heard Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph and some other defensive players did with the defensive coaches and did with Aaron Henry and did with some other guys, basically said, hey, this is not working. This is not working. And I think that you're going to have some offensive guys. I had Isaiah Williams say, hey, that has to happen. We have to walk into these.
And then it has Sunday to, and then the changes have to last. That's the other problem that we've seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So folks, Matt and I are not making each other nor probably you feel better, but that's part of the journey as Illini fans. So we are, we're getting near the end of this. Matt, any final thoughts, anything that we didn't talk about that jumped out at you, that you thought we were going to talk about?
Not really. I think there's some injury concerns. I was glad that Johnny Newton came back in the game. Here's the final thought. I don't know if this got brought up with Brad or Ked too. I hope it didn't. I have respect for them, but I hope it didn't. Playing another quarterback's not going to help. I'm sorry.
No one on the Illini guys wants to see that.
I got a question, Mike, in the first quarter. Is Donovan Leary not ready? No, he's not. If Donovan Leary was ready, he would have beat Luke Altmyer out for this job. They like where he's at from a progression standpoint, but going to another quarterback's not going to help.
Well, especially when, I mean, look, Luke Altmyer statistically, it's amazing his stats are as good as they are considering the amount of duress that he's under from opposing pass rushers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm here to tell you. I don't think playing a whole bunch of different defensive players is going to help. Cause a lot of them are too young to be ready to go.
Unless you're just trying to build for next year and that doesn't really happen in football.
But like Taz isn't a senior. He's going to be back, you know, right, Tyler Strain's not a senior. He's going to be back. What are you telling them? Right. Yeah. I mean, they did it with Tony Adams and guess what? He's in an NFL roster now. Like they kicked him to the curb about this time 2 years ago and he's on an NFL roster right now. So look, it's I thought this was a pivot point for the Illini. I said it last week in my column, did I not? Like, hey, nothing happened in FAU defines the season right now because everything's in front of you. That's no longer the case now. And what I felt about this game was this was going to be a pivot point for the season. It was going to be a huge pivot point for the season. And not only that, I thought it was going to be a pivot point to where you are in terms of program development. Because you needed to know, this was a huge moment for Brett Bielema to remind fans, hey, I'm 2 years ahead of that son of a gun, like over in West Lafayette. And that's not the message he sent tonight. That's not the message he sent today. And also the other problem is as critical of this game was to get Illinois back on track. Boy, Friday night's going to be a hell of a critical game against Nebraska. Because you lose that one, it's over. Like, I mean, basically, I mean, you can't tell me that this team can survive that. and not look competent, because this will have been it would be three games in a row against power conference teams, and essentially I don't think they looked competent for three quarters against Toledo. This season has a lot of what the hell is going on, because there was a lot of faith being put into a third year head coach that he had all the answers based off of, I guess, what he did last year. I guess we all missed the boat on that one.
We'll find out.
Yeah. And the scary part about it, and I can feel for Illini fans on this. The scary part about it is, damn it, what if Purdue has a better head coach than us? What if Purdue has a better defensive coordinator than us? Damn it, what if Purdue has a better program developmental plan than us? And that's got to be the scary part if you're an Illinois fan right now. Because if you're Brett Bielema in the middle of year three, you did nothing to dissuade that argument over 60 minutes of football in West Lafayette. And so I was told after the Kansas game that the panic button did not need to be pressed. I think the panic button needs to be pressed at this point, because if you don't press it at this point, I think the season could get away from you very, very quickly. And Illinois fans know how that can go.
Well, I tell you, you're going to have two teams that are desperate with every part of the definition for a victory Friday.
And you're facing another year one, or even maybe year zero head coach who knows, who you thought you had a 3-year head start on, and you're sitting there and you're going, like, it's the same thing again on Friday, where you're like, hey, if we're not further ahead than Nebraska, who's totally rejiggered this thing for the God knows how many times since they fired Frank Solich after a 9-win season.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Like, you know, and then, you know, not very long after that, you're going to have Wisconsin on homecoming, which is another first year coach you thought you were going to have a head start on. And if they come in and pants you, like, this is not, Ked uses this term a lot, it's not a good look. It's not a good narrative for Illinois in year three of Brett Bielema if this happens, because now you've got fans who can legitimately ask me on our message boards at Illini Guys, does Purdue have a better head coach than us? Does Purdue have a better defensive coordinator than us? Does Purdue have a better plan to get better than us? And if the answer is, and this is the scary part where I have to go, I don't know. Because I thought after today I could answer you and go, no, Illinois is further ahead. Illinois is further ahead, and they have a plan, and this is all going to work out. 44-19. And Ryan Walters is up 1-0, and it's a big one. And that's got to be a real kick in the you-know-what if you're an Illini fan. It just has to be. And yeah, to be a kick in the you-know-what if you're Brett Bielema, because you're like, man, I thought we were further along than this.
Yeah, I look at any individual game as being relatively unique. So, you know, you can get upsets or college kids. But where I get really concerned is when you're talking the trend line. You're talking the, you know, closing out the last year at 1-4, and then starting this year, you know, 2-3, that doesn't leave you a lot of warm and fuzzy feeling to go forward. But with that, we're going to have to end this, because we are running out of studio time here, and Matt's got other reporters trying to get in there and horn in on his territory. But we will be back. We will run a preview Monday night. And, of course, Matt will have a series of articles. He'll talk about what happened tonight, and then he will do his film review tomorrow, and you'll have the alternative, I guess. You can watch the Bears or do film review. Neither one seems to be a really good thing, so maybe there'll be other alternatives. But
hello, darkness, my old friend.
With that, we will let Matt go, and of course thank Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for their time. Everybody have a fantastic day, and we will be back.
Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast, where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup, where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know.
And this is Mike Kegley saying thank you so much for listening to it. It was a little bit of therapy for us as we were just as frustrated as you are as Illini fans. Now, of course, we will go and see what happens this week as Illinois prepares for a Friday night tilt against the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Memorial Stadium. That game has a lot more must win for both teams. And it's going to be a very, very ugly Saturday morning for whichever team loses the game. We'll be previewing that Monday night, so be looking for our podcast for your drive to work on Tuesday. And I'd like to thank Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince, and Matt Stevens for coming on our show. I know it's a tough thing to say, but go Illini.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.